Hi, I'm RJ Bardsley, partner and co-CEO at Wireside Communications. Welcome to This Side of the Wire, a podcast focused on the intersection of communications and technology. In each episode, we'll meet some of the most fascinating people in the tech industry. We'll get their perspectives on how tech is changing society, the economy, and the environment. We'll learn what makes them tick and how they see the future. Tune in as we decode the complexities of the digital age and uncover the stories behind the innovations, the innovators, and how they're transforming our lives. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on This Side of the Wire. I am thrilled to welcome an old friend of mine, Nirav Gandia. He's a tech evangelist from way back and the founder of House of Technology and the House of Tech Awards. In this episode, The Magic of Events, we're exploring the role events play in the tech industry, from large-scale productions like CES and Mobile World Congress to smaller niche conferences for everything from batteries to MCUs, it seems like there is a show for everything in tech. Since the pandemic, attendance has been growing and it seems like people cannot get enough of the conference circuit. But how do events actually benefit the industry? Nirav is a tech evangelist and he's covered everything from chips to phones to medical devices, and he has spent a great deal of time at events, probably more than anyone else I know. He lives on a plane. Thankfully, they do serve champagne on planes. He has also just launched this new venture, the House of Technology, and that showcases the best at a couple of different events. So, Nirav, thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't we start the conversation with a little bit of a background? Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you're doing now and how it plays into the technology events circuit.
Thank you so much for that lovely intro, Andre, and for having me. You know I love a good podcast, especially if it's an opportunity to talk to you. So, you know, for the listeners, I've been a tech journalist slash what I like to call an evangelist for the last 18 years, doing everything from running small niche websites in the UK to running some of the biggest tech sites, I'd like to say, especially in the niche circuit in the world. And more recently, doing alongside House of Technology, writing and contributing to both Forbes and Digital Trends in a very, very prominent way. So that's kind of my background summed up. And then last year, I've run an event at CES for almost 10 years now. And it's probably about my 30th or we're coming up probably my 40th hosted event throughout my career, which is no mean feat. And I've noticed that going into this CES 2024, I was like, well, how do we bring this under the same banner as my new, you know, as my new venture? And when I was setting up House of Technology, I realized that the big thing is there's a lot of awards that will focus on, hey, this is the best product. But to really launch a successful product is more than just a physical or virtual piece of software or product. You need both an amazing story, which comes from the people inside the company, but then to get that story out, and we've all seen that it's not about having the best product, it's equally about having an incredible story that people can buy into and rally around. And to get that message out there requires the cooperation and support of people on the other side, the creators and the journalists. So that's why I set up our House of Tech Awards. We have obviously the best of CES physical products that everyone does. But then I have what I think is probably an industry first. We've all seen award programs like the Forbes 30 Under 30, and they're fantastic, but they focus on one category. I was like, how do we truly celebrate the best of technology? And to do that, I wanted to recognize the storytelling and the buy-in. So the Hot 24 was 24 people in 2024 that really focused on both executives and what I like to call the communications captains, your PRs and your marketers, but equally, for the first time, journalists and creators all in the same list. And it's like, these are the people that can help shape and identify the best of technology, but also shape kind of consumer perceptions. That was an amazing success. We had hundreds of people both there and on the wait list in just a few weeks. And really, it taught me that actually a lot of people have been waiting for someone to recognize the unsung heroes of storytelling.
I love the focus on people, and I love the focus on the people behind the stories that you're talking about. That kind of leads me to my next question, because one of the things about events is that you get to see a lot of people in person. How valuable is that? How valuable are events to technology as a whole?
I think you said it in my delightful intro. I'm always on a plane. And the reality is we all get a million emails a day. Well, thereabouts. It can sometimes feel like a million. And it's really easy to, on the journalist side, if you're a PR person, you're getting 1,000 emails from 1,000 journalists for the same product. And it's really hard to not let, hey, you're being biased, you're being unfair, you're prioritizing one or another, even though these things happen because it's natural and there's finite resources. It can set off the wrong impressions, like, oh, I didn't get an email back, but this person did, and you know we talked, why didn't we do that? And then from the journalist side, it's really difficult to stand out in an email. There's a reason every one of my emails starts with hello, darling. And normally I say hello, darling, if I can't remember your name.
I thought that was just my emails. No, you say that to everyone? Come on.
Oh, RJ, you get that in voice notes. That's the difference. Nobody gets the same treatment as you. But no, look, from a journalist perspective, it's amazing because instead of sending 100 emails to 100 companies and piecemealing responses, it might take you 2 weeks to get everything back and to have those conversations. You look at something like an IFA, you can have 100 conversations in 2 days. And most importantly, if it's someone you've never worked with before, and this applies on both sides, you're not a nameless face behind an email address or behind a keyboard. You are a person, you're someone they know. You can make that relevant, hey, it was amazing chatting, go Yankees or don't go Yankees, kind of a reference point. And the minute someone sees that email, within 3 seconds, there's no gatekeeping. There's like, I guarantee it puts a smile on their face and you're like, oh, it's that person. And then you take time to craft a response, but you're like, I'm gonna keep an eye out for that person. So if email is the entry point, the receptionist, the gatekeeper, events allows you to go straight to the person directly.
So events, in a nutshell, what I think you're saying is that events really build the relationships that you need to do your jobs on. Is that kind of catching it?
I mean, obviously there's the product as well. And if you can see 100 products in 3 days in one confined area, way better than trying to ship 100 products out for both sides and things like that. But that's fleeting. It's the relationships. And that's the core tenet of, I think, the entire industry runs on, the DNA is relationships.
What about those sort of spontaneous ideas that happen? Like when you're sitting down and having a drink and, you know, there's this mythology, especially in Silicon Valley, about these companies that are born on the back of a cocktail napkin. Is that mythology or do you see that happening when you see people getting together? I mean, these parties are at CES and Mobile World Congress and IFA. And for our listeners who might not be familiar, IFA is a tech show in Berlin and it's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of these events, they get great minds, great thinkers together, not just journalists and marketers, but engineers and executives and everybody. Do you see that sort of collaboration happening at these kind of events?
Absolutely. I know at least 3 or 4 examples of people I've introduced at my own event collaborating to do things. I'll give you a phenomenal example of this, actually, or a couple. I started in my own UK tech website, and I did that for about 9 years. And I was like, I really want to go and do something bigger. I could keep running this, but I'd rather go and do from 4 million people, I want to go to 40. And it was really hard to break into the US market, except in January, I met Darcy Lacouvet from Android Authority in China, of all places, at a random tech trip. And even afterwards, we were like sending messages, trying to find time to connect. Didn't quite connect. February, I went to MWC, had some stuff stolen, was talking to Josh Vergara, who was a good friend of mine at that point, but I'd never met him in person. I'd known him on Twitter for 5 years. but never met him in person at that till that point. And I was like, oh man, this happened. And I was like, I'm really trying to get hold of Darcy. He's like, come with me. And Darcy was there. And within 2 weeks, 3 weeks of that second meeting, I joined the company. But those moments would not have been possible. And we joined the company because it was like firing ideas. And we were like, oh, actually, we work alike. We mm-hmm. think alike. And then you go, MWC, I think 2019, I met the guys behind FX Tech at a random press briefing. 18 months later, we did the XDA phone together. Why? Because we both met, talked about this idea at that point, realized we were from the same hometown in London. There's those things. And then that's my examples. But without saying who, I can name hundreds of chance improv meetings I've had. That little, oh my God, sorry, I didn't. Oh yeah, it's great to meet you. Let's chat for 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, 3 hours later, they're still talking.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, again, relationships, but there's millions of dollars that forms and game-changing ideas that form from a chance meeting over a drink.
Yeah, I love those meetings. I love those meetings.
It's so much fun.
When we were talking earlier, in an earlier conversation, you said something to me that I found super interesting. You said CES is back. You said, you know, after COVID, the next couple of years, it kind of was ramping up. And last year, it was kind of there. But you said that you were really excited about CES this year because it was going to be sort of back full throttle. Could you elaborate on that? What are you expecting in January?
We've got to kind of think all the way back to 2020. I did that. I did an amazing event for 600 Media under the future for future. In
so
January,
you were the super spreader, right? That's what you're saying. You were the.
Yeah, I kind of have said it publicly at this point. I genuinely do think my event might have been a little bit. But at that point, I'd like to feign indifference because we had no idea.
I think I went to that event. I think I was there.
Oh, yeah. There's a few people who went to that event. And I'm just grateful that some of my very close friends who were super ill made it through. Now, CES as a whole is always a super spreader of every germ possible. So,
yeah, and we don't need to make light of it. We know that, you know, it's very important to take precautions and make sure that you're healthy, and health is, comes first always. Absolutely.
Exactly. But the context of that is post 2020, there were, if you think, obviously CES 2020 happened, nothing happened in 21, and there was real, real fear that CES would never come back. Or if it did, it would come back in these really small, depleted, in a small depleted way. 22 was okay. It was a little hit and miss because it was still partially virtual. People were like, I don't want to do this. 23 saw a ramp up. I think 24 was, from the energy and talking to people, was bigger than 2020, was the natural progression. And that to me, having done this, and only ones I missed was 21, that to me made me realize that we're not only back, but we're back on the trajectory. There are things that have changed. Some companies won't do CES. Some companies will do shorter amounts of time because there is obviously fear of not just the pandemic, but of all diseases, because the CES flu is that statement we've all heard. But the reality is that a lot of companies have gone, oh, it survived. It's now thriving because there are more and more people than ever. The only difference is, and so they're coming in. The only thing I would say is before you could guarantee 6 months out that people would have started booking hotels, everything. There's a lot of people who in the beginning of November are still not even 100% committed to being at CES. Most people will end up there, most likely. But there's always going to be, I think, for all shows, little hesitation and later buy-in, like lockdown, we're going to spend millions of dollars as a company to attend.
Yeah. I want to switch gears for a minute because you've spent so much time on the journalism side, and I want to talk a little bit about the news cycle at shows like this. There's definitely a news cycle, and it seems like each show kind of has a very similar thing where, you know, there's a lot of pre-show news about what's going to happen. Then the first day, there's sort of this explosion of big announcements. And then there's, you know, things kind of subsequent days are usually smaller announcements, and you get kind of this rolling thunder. And then you kind of get this series of wrap-ups articles for about a week. But, you know, that's just kind of from the outside looking in. You know, as a journalist, are there things you go to these shows specifically looking for? What is it that comms teams should either avoid or focus on around these shows?
To avoid is quite an easy one. I say this with pure respect to every comms person in the world. With love, please don't send an email that says AI 100 times or whatever the buzzword of the moment is. You're laughing, RJ, but it's so true.
It is.
Because what will happen is you could have the most amazing product and story, but if all you want to do is harp on about AI because you're trying to hit some quota with your shareholders or something, journalists are going to, they're going to ignore you unless you're the biggest companies in the world. And then you'll probably end up getting ridiculed a little bit anyway. If you, all you've got to do is look at some of what the big companies over on the West Coast and in Asia and the response to when they mention AI. Because what will happen is naturally every journalist is going to ask you about AI because it's a story. So wait for people to ask. Don't hammer it down to them. Wait for them to ask. Because actually when they ask, you can frame it the way you want to. You can control the narrative based on what they've said. You can be in charge of the messaging and crucially how it's received. The other thing is, yes, let's take CES for an example. Starts on Tuesday. So there's lots of events on Sunday, Monday. Unless you're the biggest companies in the world, why would you, from my perspective, why would you, on, and I find little reason to do so, try and launch something under embargo for the Monday when 90% of products at CES are launching? And then you're going to be freaking, genuinely freaking out where, unfortunately, you're not the biggest company in the world, or you may not have the strongest relationships unless you work with Wireside, of course.
I love that. I'm paying you for that. That's good.
There you go. You can have the quote. No, why would you do that when actually a lot of media, if the event starts, let's take next year, for example, it starts on Tuesday. They're going to leave CES, probably Vegas, on the Thursday. Why? Because they don't want to leave for second day. They're like, wait 2 days at least. Nobody wants to be there for the whole lot. But you could get a lot more meetings scheduled on day two than you'll ever get on day zero, day minus one, or day one. Yeah. And actually, you'll get a lot more coverage because you can have more time to control the messaging and to really give people, to build evangelists for your product, service, and company. None of that's possible when you're competing with 5,000 other launches and maybe three or four events at the same time. It frustrates me where I'm like, IFA was a good example. It frustrates me where I'm like, I wish I could have gone to your product launch. And they're like, you're going to come to our press conference. I'm like, nah, I've got four press conferences at the same time. You've given me the info, which is amazing. Thank you. But also, another company sponsoring me to be here, so I've got to go to their thing. So it's this. I was like, in funny enough, in many ways, the one thing I think this industry truly needs is this centralized calendar.
I love that idea.
It's something that I've been thinking a lot about. Imagine if you were a corporate comms person, you're like, when should we do this? And every journalist was like, please don't do it at the same time as everyone else. And they were like, windowed slots, like, don't bring us Techtober, or as I think Brandon Lee said in a group chat with me the other day, Tech 2024. The whole year has been a Techtober. And what I will say without naming names, because it wasn't Brandon, it was someone else in our group chat, this is not just events, but this is as a whole. If you are like, oh, we found a random 5-day window and nothing's happening, we're going to drop something in there. Try not to be too surprised, like, especially if it's in an odd time based on 2-3 years ago. The changing face of the pandemic means that events are all year round now. Product launches are all year round now. And actually, I think a lot of journalists have started to have enough. Like, there's a, there, I know major journalists who have just gone no to major product launches because they're all burning out.
How much of your stuff do you write ahead of a show? So how much do you try and put to bed before you even get on the plane?
It would depend. If you do a pre-briefing, say in New York 3 weeks before, I'll bed the lot. I'll do the whole lot because you've already taken the time to give me the information. Not only give me the information, but walk me through, let me feel the physical product and form my own opinion, crucially in a way that doesn't, that isn't super time stretched. Whereas I might, not you, but whoever, might give you 30 minutes at CES. And that's enough time for me to listen with one ear whilst I'm taking pictures and going, I'll get to that at some point. I'd probably give you 3 hours in New York because you've taken the time to give me more time, more leeway. A lot of us work over the December period to get ahead of CES. But once it hits the show floor, it's like bandwidth is limited. How much can I cover? And then it's like, what do I actually want to cover? And that's where a lot of companies, I think, lose out on coverage because they're like, oh, come see us 3 days before the show starts in Vegas. I'm like, I'm not going to be there. Oh, I will. A lot of companies will go, come see us on the Saturday or the Sunday of Vegas. A lot of folks fly in on the Monday. A lot of folks fly in on the Sunday. Yes, it costs you more, but do it in New York when everyone's available in mid-December or, you know, 20th of December. Have a little holiday party and you'll also get a chance to form those relationships. And it means that if I've got to take pictures in Vegas, it's still on my head and I might as well not have done any work because you can't form an opinion based on a press release, really. So I'll be like, oh, I'll get to it. And therefore, a lot of the times you might be like, I'll get to it. And I get to it 5 days later because it's not top priority compared to the 17 other 100 things happening.
All right. I have one final question for you. It's actually a question in three parts. So looking out over 2025, do you have three predictions for the year in events?
Oh, RJ, you didn't give me a heads up on that.
I know. I'm sorry. And we can cut this if you want. But
oh, no, it's fine. I love being put on the spot. He says, while sitting there going, ChatGPT, where's my answer? No, I'm not GPTing this, don't worry. Okay, prediction for events. I think, I don't know if it's 25 specific, but I think over the next 2 years, we're going to see a lot more approach to that riches and niches, i.e. I think smaller events, there'll always be the major trade shows. But we're going to see, because if you think those trade shows are maybe four times a year, beyond that, every company is going to try and do something. There's not going to be a, hey, we've reached July, which means we can guarantee we've got 5 weeks off before the madness starts. Or it wasn't long ago when in June you were like, I can take 3 months before it's the next major product launch. Now you're like, I've got 3 days. We're going to see more companies continue to try and fill every minute. You're then probably going to see a lot of people go, why didn't our product get covered? And that's for every reason I've just talked about for the last 20 or so minutes. And then we'll return to some form of decorum, or some form of unwritten understanding of we're all human. And it's, I kind of leave it at this point. If you're a company, it's amazing. You've got a product, you work on your product cycle. Fantastic. The people in your company work on one product cycle. And you're like, great, it works for us. We're going to hit this now. But to get real buy-in from media, you need to take a thing. And this is where working with RJ and folks who've been in this industry for a long time comes in. You got to think about, well, how many other things are those same journalists we're trying to get in, or creators or media or analysts trying to get in the room? How much are they contending with? And then everyone needs to just remember everyone's human. Just because you spotted, hey, there's a week when no one's got anything. If there's been 9 weeks of events and there's a 6 weeks coming up, maybe give people that week and don't try and fill it, because you eventually there's going to be pushback, I think.
Yeah.
I sound really jaded and I promise I'm not. I love what I do. And secondly, let's talk about just the bigger shows. I think the format of bigger shows is going to change.
Okay. How so?
It's fascinating. I talk to a lot of people with my events and some of the, you know, accessories events and like niche events I'm planning for 25. And everyone's like, we love that. We love that. And without going into names of who, but they're not just talking about the major shows, but they're talking about all the traditional ancillaries, your Unveiled, your Showstoppers, your Pepcoms. You know, it's like, hey, this is the smaller version of that. But I think there's a lot more power to be had from building and from being involved in niche, hyper-focused events where someone's coming. As the event I told you about earlier being my accessories event, someone's coming because they know they want to see accessories. They know they want to see this. They know they want to see health. They want to see that. And as a result, because you've set the right expectations, instead of it being an event where we're like, well, there's 147 companies and I don't know what to expect, I actually think we'll end up with better coverage. So there's going to be some resetting, even though pandemic did.
Yeah.
There'll be some course correction over the next couple of years as I think people figure out, truly figure out, what does a post-pandemic tech event schedule, format, and society look like?
All right. So that's kind of two, right? First is you'll see a normalization of schedules. Second is you'll see sort of a trend towards hyper-focused events within events. And you are kind of already seeing that at these bigger shows, right? With the suites.
Absolutely. And, yeah, the suites going, and this is the big one as well. We'll see a lot of companies be in the vicinity without being at the main show.
Okay.
Because and the ROI from a suite and from that personalization to, oh, I just caught some random engineer from another company or salesperson from another company, and someone came to me to sell something to me instead of buying whatever I'm selling, you know?
And is that your third prediction, the activity in the vicinity?
Yeah, I think that's the end. I think that will be likely the end result. So prediction based on as we go through this, scheduling will happen naturally because there's only so much time and we all know how pushed, you know, how pinched the media landscape has become. Mm-hmm. The result of that is all media are going to reach burnout points. We're all human beings. And I've seen it. I've been through it. I can see it coming again. But then the end result of all of this is going to be hyper-focused, and instead of spending $100,000 to $500,000 on CES, just making numbers, if you're going to go sizable, you might end up spending $50,000 to $100,000 and then an extra $200,000 just on media outreach and end up with a better result.
Nice.
Because you're in the vicinity, everyone's there, so you get that benefit, but you're not contending with, I have to build a booth, I have to follow the rules of another organization inside my.
Yeah, that gives you more control over the experience you want to create. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I saw this with ASUS at IFA, and it was an amazing experience. It was just, they had a beautiful media display. ASUS was a great example of this. Crucially, they were like, book a time slot. Not, hey, here's your PR slots, and then you need to be met by a PR person or anything like that. They're like, no, PR did the outreach, and they were like, book a time slot. You turn up, you scan a QR code, like an event, and then you can walk in, peruse the demo area, take a seat, have some drinks, eat. But you're not there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I went to go for 30 minutes to look at products, and I ended up spending 3.5 hours working from there and also talking to random ASUS people and a couple of people I'd known for ages online but had never met in person.
Wow. And that brings us all the way back to what you were first saying about the magic of events being where you build those relationships.
Exactly. Relationships and memories.
Yep. I love it. All right. Well, with that in mind, we've got three predictions from Nirav, and we're going to ask him back next year to see how those went in 2025. And I am hopefully going to see you at an event this year.
You mean in 25, right?
I mean in 25. What did I say, 24?
You said this year. I was like, oh. I don't mind, RJ. I will get on a plane right now to come see you.
I meant in 2025, but we do have to do that at some point. All right, we are just about out of time. Nirav, any closing thoughts?
I think there's huge value to be had from events. What is an event? The core definition will never change, but the experience will. But for every company, and this comes from having had conversations about what I'm planning for CES, I think every company, if you're a light company and you're making smart lights, do you need to be on a trade show surrounded by bright light that won't showcase your product in its best natural environment? And that's the kind of ethos. Don't be somewhere just to do it. If you're going to be at a show, make sure the show and the environment you set up truly showcases your product in the light you want it to be seen by everyone as.
I love that. All right, folks. Nirav Gandia, founder of House of Technology and the House of Tech Awards, thank you so much for joining us. As always, it was a blast to talk to you. Everybody who tuned in, thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any questions, please leave a comment down below so that we can keep the conversation going. We'll also welcome you to connect with us and follow us on LinkedIn. We've included Nirav's links as well below. And if you are going to CES, Mobile World Congress, or IFA, make sure you look him up. He throws the best parties out there. All right, folks, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.